back to my garden, episode 43.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
Are you concerned about toxic chemicals, GMOs, and frankenfood? Don't panic. Grow organic. Discover my new resource for organic gardening. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/myorganic. Do you love homegrown tomatoes? Free Report reveals the 5 dirt cheap tools I use to grow 22 types of heirloom tomatoes, including my secret soil booster. Download your copy for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/freereport. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another edition of Back to My Garden. Imagine in your mind a map, and we're going all the way to the west coast of America. Yolanda is passionate about sustainable gardening. She's the moderator of the hugely popular Garden Naturally group on Facebook. She's an actor, a paralegal, a law school student, and a creator of over 2,000 gardening how-to videos. And we're going to touch on some of those today as well. So please welcome to the call from Vancouver, Washington, Yolanda Van Veen. Hi, Yolanda.
Thank you for inviting me to your show. How exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I gave you a brief introduction. And I want to hear your story, and I'm sure our listeners want to get to know you as well. So take a minute or two and just walk us through a bit about your background and how you got into gardening.
Well, my family has been growing flowers for 3 generations. So even my great-grandfather grew chrysanthemums. So my other grandfather, Johannes, was a cyclamen hybridizer. So my family has been in the flower industry and the bulb industry for many years. I have a cousin that sells calla lilies in Holland. I've got a lot of family in the business. So my family, my mom and dad got married in Holland, and they came over to the United States, and I was born in East LA. And then when I was 3, we moved up to Oregon, and my parents were hippies for a little bit. You wouldn't believe that now. They're so not that way now. But we grew up in a very small town in Oregon. And of course, we had to grow plants. And even when my father was working in a cabinet shop, my mom, we always had Christmas trees and ornamentals and flowers that we sold at the market. And then by the time I was in high school, the business just grew and grew. And so we had 18 greenhouses. And at one time, we were the largest, one of the largest flower growers in the Northwest, at least in the Portland area at the wholesale market. And then I grew up there, and then I went off to college and I studied communications. And then I worked for a Japanese company for 3 years. I've done many different things. And then I started my own business selling flower bulbs, which was kind of an offshoot of my parents' business because it was going really well. And we had lots of flower bulbs available, you know, as the plants kept dividing and growing. We grew all kinds of calla lilies and alstroemerias and liatris and gloriosa lilies and lilies. I had so many lily bulbs to sell. And so I did that for 20 years, and then I answered an ad on Craigslist. They wanted someone to do videos. This is when YouTube first came out. Nobody knew what YouTube was. It was only out for a couple months. I'm like, oh, I love doing videos. That's like my communications degree, and I love gardening. This seems perfect for me. So we just started doing 1 to 2 minute videos in my backyard and put them on YouTube. I never thought anyone would watch them. We never thought YouTube would become anything. I mean, because at that time, MySpace was dying and Facebook wasn't even really that big yet, or even I wasn't even on Facebook. And so we did all these videos and we just pumped them out for eHow. And so that grew and grew. And now I actually closed my business and I've been still doing videos, and I decided I wanted to study law because I really am all about the environment and sustainability. And I think educating yourself is the most important thing you can do if you want to change the world. So wow, that's my short story.
You've given us a lot to build on for our next half hour. Yolanda, a lot of people are listening to this in their cars or jogging. Don't take your hands off the wheel. Drive safe. And I'll put all of the links and resources and social media connections on the blog. Make sure you follow Yolanda on Twitter at Yolanda Van Veen. Now, your website is extraordinary. It's called www.howtogardenvideos.com.
Yes.
You can't have a better, more descriptive website URL. Where to start? I want to start. You have this amazing family background in gardening. I mean, the Dutch invented tulips. Hundreds of years.
Well, actually, they found them in the Middle East and brought them back and realized they could sell them for a lot of money. So they created the stock market.
The stock market bubble. Yeah, everyone's familiar with the tulip crash. But gardening as an adult is always unique. And what was it like when you got started as an adult? Your first garden, was it houseplants, a patio garden? What did it look like?
Well, I don't think I've ever really started. It's kind of in my blood. I mean, we've always had plants in my life, no matter where I've been. I've lived many different places in the world. I've lived in the country. I've lived in the city. I've had gardens on patios. I've had gardens in a, 36 by 36 greenhouse. You know, I've done it all. So I think that gardening is something that I've tried a little bit of everything. I love herbs. I can say those are my mainstay because herbs winter over and they can come with you when you move. I love all types of houseplants from tillandsias. I love air plants and orchids and anything to jade plants, anything. And even anything that you use in the kitchen and you, like if you're growing some green onions, they're great. Just save those roots and turn around and just throw them in a cup of water and they'll grow, or you can throw them back in the ground. I'm always mixing things. If you've got sprouting garlic in your refrigerator, just plant it in a pot on the patio or throw it outside in the garden with anything else. So I really like to intermix my plants, especially with garlic and onions and daffodils, things that are going to ward off other like mice, and also they repel lots of damaging insects. So I'm all about mixing things for sustainability too.
Yeah, sustainability. That's a million-dollar word right now, because this will be the first generation, these millennials, that actually have to grow up dealing with climate change.
Well, we dealt with it too. Our change back and forth. But now, I mean, it's always been part of the earth. I think we're just more aware now. Mm-hmm. And it's just escalated more, you know. So
there's always been water. But now they actually, you know, it's a criminal offense in parts of the U.S. to water your lawn. Or you can get a ticket for watering your car or overusing your allotment. So I can see, they're going to grow up in a very different world than you and I did.
Very different world. It's a very different world. In one respect, I think, you know, we have access to international information. So I don't think we can say that just because the media is pretty much only reports what they want to report, there's still no reason we can't get our information to other places. So that's kind of my point too, is that I think we're a more aware generation and we can make our own choices too. And I'm to the point of realizing we can't keep blaming corporations and blaming everybody else for the world's problems. We need to take our own personal responsibilities too. Mm-hmm. So, and our purchasing habits. So, you know, companies are not going to close just because you're picketing them. They're going to close because you're not buying their products. So the best thing you can do is just teach people sustainable information and quit concentrating on the negative. You know, and we want to create our new world. So the old world isn't even part of my attitude anymore. It's going to be a new biosphere economy. It's going to be fabulous. We're going to be trading things. We're going to be Craigslisting it. We're going to be sharing our gardens. We're going to be growing naturally. Yeah, we're going to have more community-based involvement. I see a really good future.
What a refreshing attitude. Because I always see the mark of, you know, you're getting old is when you say, in my day. In my day, music came on big black plastic circles called records, and those days aren't coming back. And it doesn't have anything to do with how old you are. It's your philosophy and what you embrace. You're very refreshing.
Yeah, well, I'm still stuck in 1985. You know, I'm still, and I, you know, I say, it's so funny, my dad, when I was 3 years old, took me to the only government-sponsored rock festival in the country, Vortex in Estacada, Oregon. And all I just remember, hippies everywhere and recycling and cleaning. And, you know, it's part of me, even though I've lived in different places and, you know, been around different people that have different attitudes. I think just that whole, I don't think it's a new attitude. In fact, we're going back to our great-great-great-grandparents' attitude of, you know, living healthy and living sustainably and, you know, just getting things locally and taking responsibility for what we put in our body.
Growing up in the Northwest, living in Washington like you do, you have a unique climate, different than anywhere else in probably the world. What's it like gardening in Washington?
It's really easy. That's the thing that amazes me is you need to get away from the tropicals, though. That's where I imported a lot of plants from South Africa, and I have purchased, I've always spent so much money going down to the San Francisco Garden Show when I had a booth there as a vendor, you know, collecting all the hibiscus. And I have spent so much money on exotic plants, and they'll last for 10 years sometimes. And then we just get a really bad winter where it's 8 days of below 10 degrees, which is very rare, but it only happens once every 10 years. It'll kill everything. So I'm to the point, you know, it's great to garden with more native type plants that grow in your area naturally, because then you're not fighting any, they're just growing there anyway. So herbs do wonderfully, all types of fruits and vegetables and berries and lilies. And we've got such a abundance, you know, it's the end of the Oregon Trail. It's the abundance. This is, you know, people lived off the land. There was so much food here. Fort Vancouver here, I guess in the 1700s and 1800s, they called it, it was like the Tiffany's of the West Coast. They were eating so well. They had greenhouses with citrus, and it's really easy to grow because we have we used to have quite a long rainy season, and at least we do get some rain, and we have just, it's a perfect climate for almost any plant, because even the tropical plants will live for 10 years and we get a bad winter. And yet a lot of, we did bad, cold enough winters that peonies will make it where it's not cold enough other places for them to make it. So it's a wonderful place to garden. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
You smiled when you said rainy season. There's an incredible drought going on in the U.S. and the Southwest. Has that ticked up to your part of the country, or are you still?
Completely. Talk about climate change. We all talk about it. We used to be, you know, the Northwest has always been, and I think Seattle still, it just seems like California is now more like Mexico and we're more like Northern California. So we don't have that misty days on end with cloudy, misty, drizzly rain. When it rains here, it is a tropical storm like Florida. It comes in the morning. We never used to get thunder and lightning. We've had like 4 or 5 storms in the last month alone. Really wicked storms. I mean, waking me up, shaking the place and setting off car alarms. Never used to get that. The transition is huge now. I mean, we're getting really hot air. The Pacific is warmed incredibly. So now, instead of the typhoons and the hurricanes that come from the Philippines, they don't stop when they hit the cold. They keep going to our coast now. So now we're getting really, when it rains, it'll pour for like 2 hours, then clear up and be sunny again. It's never been that way in the Northwest. That is Florida, not the Northwest. So it's, you know, and we had hardly any rain this winter either. And I went swimming at Bonnie Lure in one of my favorite creeks out in Estacada by my mom and dad's house yesterday or the day before. The water's so low. I've never seen it that low in my life. They used to jump off the bridge into the water. Now it's waist deep. And I mean, there was like little trout swimming all around my feet because there's crawdad. Everyone was catching the crawdads because there's hardly any. I mean, there's tons of them, but the creek's so small that they're just easy to catch. So my worry is what happens when that's going to start drying up completely over the summers. The winters, we still get, and it's different rain. Now we used to get the trickly rain, so the water was even. Now we're getting the flash floods and then nothing. You know, it's a different climate, and it's affecting all of our plants. A lot of our plants are not surviving. You know, even the rhododendrons in people's yards are dying because it's too dry and not misty and cold for them anymore. And our summers are just too long and dry for them. And we have 90 degrees, I'd swear, 3 weeks straight here. We never used to have that.
You would never use the word drought-tolerant garden to describe Oregon or Washington. That doesn't even compute.
Yeah, but we're losing a lot of our plants because of the drought. If you're not watering them, a lot of them are not. All of our empty homes, almost all, they used to make it with no water. But now you're looking at a lot of these vacant houses with these beautiful gardens. You know, they used to go years with, you know, you never even have, things would survive without watering them. And now, you know, everything's dead. Even here, we're middle of August and I'm driving out to see my parents and the leaves are starting to fall. Yeah. That used to be end of September.
I guess that's where the education of gardeners comes in, because you can't expect things to stay the same forever. Talk to us. Let's make sure everybody checks out your how-to videos. Talk us through this new site you're building, howtogardenvideos.com. Is it a collection, or what's the inspiration behind that?
Well, we just have lots of gardening videos that we've produced. So over the years, and some of them are newer, some of them are older. They're mostly the videos that we've thought that are the most important, had the best information and sustainable information. And it's changing quickly, and it's so positive. I'm going back to being so positive that we can make a difference. Because when I started doing videos 8 years ago, there were very few people that were telling people, you know, to use vinegar or to boiling water to kill weeds. It was all about, you know, when you saw a gardening video, it was a guy standing behind a table with a table full of chemicals. And he was like, oh, use this and use this for this and use this for this. I mean, there was not even a plant in the video. All they showed was the chemicals. And so I was quite a heretic at the time, you know. So that's what I found, is that the public is so hungry for this information that it's just exploded. So I guess that's where we started with our website idea, too, is it's a place where people can find sustainable information for gardening, because at that time it was really difficult to find that information. And that was our plan, is to, you know, change people's behaviors. That's how we're going to change the world. We're not going to fight anybody.
At the top of the show, you said you started in the MySpace days. And we have listeners, I'm sure, that go, what the heck is MySpace? You know, before there was Facebook, there is MySpace. Just take our words for it. 8 years is like 80 in internet years. That's fantastic. Talk to us a little bit about, you mentioned weed killing. Do you have a couple of drops of secret sauce that you can tell us, like good ways to kill weeds in the garden without bringing in pesticides and chemicals?
Well, pulling them is a really good way to do it.
Yeah.
Just putting some more soil on top of them is another good way to do it. Yeah. A lot of times, and then put soil and then plant a bunch of stuff in it, you know, and then as the weeds come up, putting some newspaper down and some soil works really well. Vinegar works well. And I just raise beds is the best thing you can do too, is if you plant things in raised beds, the weeds aren't quite the problem. Mulching them, if you're mowing your lawn and you've got a bunch of just grass clippings and you've got an area, especially like around the fence, you don't want to put the mulch up on the fence. But the good way to start your beds is just to start putting a bunch of grass clippings on top of where you've got a bunch of weeds. And then eventually it takes a year or two, but that will break down into a nice raised bed. And then you can always put some compost on top too. So I'd say it's really, there's a lot of easy ways to pull weeds and clean up areas. So
now you're telling me before the show, you're pretty proud of your container garden. And we have a lot of listeners that just are passionate about containers, because you never get bored with containers. You just move them around and everything's different every single day. What are you growing this year that you're tickled with? And is there anything that's really ticking you off and it refuses to behave?
Oh, I love all plants. And right now I have a coral bell that's like this hot burgundy with spots on it. And it's just, the foliage is just beautiful, and it loves the little container it's in. And I mean, it can handle being pretty dry too. That's what I'm always amazed with. I've got lots of sedums and succulents. I love my sedums and succulents in pots. They seem to handle the deck really well. I've got lots of chrysanthemums growing, and then I've got some herbs. I've got some rosemary and thyme, and I've got some cilantro, and I've got I just pack my pots with lots of different things, and they're always constantly changing. I've got daffodils in the bottom and tulips, because nothing's growing in the spring really in my pots, so they come up first. And so I like intermixing my pots with lots of different things, especially with your vegetables, because they're usually a more of a summertime thing. So it's good to have your spring color too. So I try to get plants that are different colors. I've got a really pretty nandina, so I've got some greenery in it. I've got a lot of my kitchen scraps I try to grow too. So I've got some green onions and some celery growing. So a little bit of everything. That's what I really like about gardening, is that I'm really not, I don't segregate my plants. I keep them very intermixed, and it's a constant changing party. And I always say gardening's like throwing a party. It is your party, honey. And if you want to put name tags on everybody and have put them in a row and they can have to sit at the same table, then that's fine. Or you can have a summer barbecue and don't even worry about the name tags, and everybody just gets along and can intermix. And it's up to you. You know, gardening should be fun. It's all about you.
I love that. Growing your kitchen scraps. A lot of people don't know you can grow garlic.
It yes, just comes garlic from a store. Is great. And they always, you know, you don't get to them and they start sprouting. Anything that has a sprout, plant it. That's the thing. If it starts sprouting in your refrigerator, that means it's good to go.
When I was a bachelor, the drawers in the bottom of the fridge were called the rotter and the sprouter. And me and my roommates, like, I don't know why we bought vegetables. Nobody ate anything. It would just go to waste. But my one roommate, he would always just stick the, you know, when the potato gets the little white stalks out of it. And we had a potato plant one year in our backyard when we were going to college. It has sprouts, plant it. That's going to be
cool. If it has sprouts, plant
it. I'm writing that down. Good.
Yes, that's kind of my rule. And you can put it in a container. A lot of things will grow right in a cup of water, too.
How did your cilantro do this year? I know a lot of people.
Well, you know, cilantro are one of those, they're hard to start from seed. Oh. So if you buy them as a plant, usually by that time, they don't keep growing. So they're kind of one of those plants, like basil is tough too. So, you know, and I'm okay with spending, what, 75 cents on a new plant and then growing it and then just cutting things out as I need them. And when it's done in a month or two and nothing's happening, just replacing it. So I guess that's my point, too, is you just gardens. And again, you don't know who's going to show up to your party, your garden party. Some people and plants do great. Some just show up for a little bit and then they just take off. But you don't take it personally and you just enjoy every one of them. And I still enjoyed, you know, that cilantro with my Mexican food for that month. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. You just kind of got to let it go.
Gardeners are amazing. They share everything. Like, here, try one of these, try one of these. Are you the gardener from your circle of friends, or do you have other friends that have the bug as well?
I think I've got friends that are much more into gardening than I'll ever be.
Really? Wow.
Because that's their life, especially a lot of my retired friends. You know what I mean? They're not taking kids to school. They're not trying to get a degree. They're, you know, their garden is their life and they spend 20 hours a day in it. You know what I mean? So, and then I've got a lot of even young friends that are totally into gardening, you know, and they're got booths at the farmers markets where they're selling their extra product, you know. So I think there's all levels of gardening. I've got friends that are into tillandsias. I mean, that's their whole life. They've got, you know, they just put a plastic tarp up to the back of their house and they've got thousands of tillandsias in there, you know. And so I don't think it's a contest in that respect either. I think everybody... I go through phases. I'm kind of a garden junkie where I'll just kind of, you know, really get into different types of bulb plants and, you know, and then I'll get in different kinds of herbs. And I just go through stages, too.
I was at the farmer's market where I live, and there's a lot of Amish booths. And this young couple, he's got the huge hat, but his beard might have 9 whiskers in it. He's so young. And I said, "Do you have any hot peppers?" And he gave me the look. And he went behind the secret area. And he had some of the best jalapeno peppers. And I thought, this guy's got to be like 17, 18 years old. And he's got a wife and a booth at the farmer's market and he's gardening. I don't remember people when I was 20 gardening, but now it's very popular.
Yeah, and that's what is so funny to me is that, you know, magazines and the media keep saying how young people aren't gardening. And I don't know who they're talking to. They're not buying magazines. That's what they're not doing. You know what I mean? So, and that's unfortunate, but they are going online. So there's a lot of opportunities. I think there's a lot of change and people, you know, instinctively want to fight the change, but they don't realize the change is good in the end. Beautiful. You know, there's lots of opportunities. And I think I get so many emails and people on Facebook that find me are almost all young people. Yeah. And it's all over the world. I mean, like the little island of Seychelles, you know, "Oh, I saw your gardening videos. I love you, you know, and I'm planting a green onion or whatever because, you know, or I used your advice or, you know, whatever." And I'm just amazed that it doesn't matter. People don't even have electricity or running water in places in Africa, but they have YouTube, you know, and they have gardens and they're so into gardening. And I think it's something that is so above any of our differences. That's what I love about it the most. You know, it's just beyond any of our differences that gardening can just, everyone can relate to gardening, and it brings us together. Doesn't matter where you are on this planet.
Your passion is coming through, and I want to make sure we talk about your tribe that you're building on Facebook. You have an enormous following on Facebook. Garden Naturally Group. How do we find it on Facebook?
Well, just log on to Facebook, and I believe you have to have an account to log in, but just go into the search and just put Garden Naturally Group, and it should come right up, and then just make sure and hit the like button, and make sure to also define me, Yolanda Van Veen, on Facebook, and subscribe to my page, and tell Facebook that I need to have more than 5,000 friends, and that's not fair, but that's okay. I can deal with that.
So, bring Yolanda your questions. I noticed you have a good classroom going.
I don't like to be restricted. It's like, I don't want to sit in the corner. And the fact that Facebook restricts me to 5,000 friends, but I can have followers. So that's okay. But I can't follow them. I can't see their posts. So that's one of my issues. But I have many things that I want to change in the world. And that's just one of them.
And for YouTube, everyone can subscribe, and then YouTube will automatically send updates.
Right. And I've got a personal YouTube page under Yolanda Van Veen, and also How to Garden videos is on YouTube as well. And you can also just search on YouTube for Yolanda Van Veen, and there's a few thousand things that'll come up. So
they'll find you. I looked at the clock, and our time is rapidly moving here. Now is the time in the show where we play everybody's favorite game called Five Quick Questions. This is your chance to share your wisdom and experience with novice gardeners. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Question number one. In your opinion, what do you think is the number one thing that stops new people from trying gardening?
Not having the money and not knowing where or having space to garden.
Mm. And a quick tip to remedy the space issue?
Put them in containers on a window and get some starts from your friends.
Nice. And if that doesn't work, just do a random drive-by gardening. Throw seeds.
Exactly. And there's community gardens. There's historic gardens. The fall is a great time. Just grab a few seeds. No one's going to care.
Wherever you're listening to this, go down and get on the waiting list at a community garden, because there's always a waiting list. Number two, you've had some excellent gardening teachers, and you are an amazing gardening teacher. What's the single best piece of gardening advice you've ever received?
Ignore your plants. In fact, I found if you dote on your plants and you water them too much and you feed them, you know, you think you got to fertilize them and all these things that you think you need to do, just like your kids, they're not going to do it. The second you step away, and they'll let you know when they need help. If they start wilting, you add water. If they turn a little bit yellow, put some compost on them. That's about all you need to do. If you dote on them, they'll never do well.
Brilliant. A baby will never learn to crawl if you pick it up all the time. That's brilliant. I always figured, like, fertilizer, a little bit is like steroids. More must be better.
But my point is, why would you eat vitamins when you've got steak and eggs and fruit and vegetables waiting at your table? So give your plant compost. Don't give them any Slim Fast.
I don't know if Miracle-Gro is a sponsor yet of the podcast, but I have killed my share by giving too much Miracle-Gro to things. Miracle-Gro.
Everything in moderation. I guess that's another rule. In moderation, then.
Number three, you're very internet savvy. Can you recommend one or two websites of either gardening friends you like or good resource sites for new gardeners?
Of course, How to Garden Videos is probably
everyone should go to How to Garden Videos right now.
Organic Gardening is a great website. There's lots of different. I think it's more. My attitude is we should be more of a hands-on learning. That's what, you know, forget trying to memorize anything anymore. You know, the whole attitude is getting to that information. So everything should be subject-based. So there's so much information on the internet, even Dave's Garden, if you want to get information about different products and different companies. But, you know, even just researching the 10 best, you know, I always try to research things. So it's hard to pick out just one or two websites because there's so many of them. And I think it's specific to the information that you want to try to find.
I know. Years ago, you'd have to go to a library and check out the book and hope that the book had the answer. And now you just go to YouTube.
Yes. And that's, you know, my point is there's so, make sure and watch a few videos, make sure and get to a few sources and make your own decision, because everybody's got their own realities and their own points of view. And it's, you know, the Northwest gardening is very different than different parts of the world gardening. So what I might say in one video may not relate to your garden at all, because this is the Northwest garden. So, you know, that's my point too, is to try to find information that's local to your area. So, you know, websites generally can't do that. So go to the Extension Service, the Agricultural Service, the Master Gardeners. Go to their website. Master Gardeners, of course, I'm going to just rave on them. That would be a good source. Find the sources that are the most unbiased as possible. Educational sources are great, too, but they're not always unbiased as far as they have sponsors as well. So, you know, I always say take your information with a grain of salt too, because, you know, everybody has their own agenda, and that's good. That's the way we want it. It's a free market economy. It should be that way. But we have a choice on what we purchase.
Nice. Question number four. I'm a child of the 80s, and we used to go to school with giant binders, with huge three-ring binders, and that was our iPads in the 80s, and everyone had books. I still love books. Can you recommend a good gardening book or a favorite gardening book of yours?
Sunset, of course, has, I think the guides are really incredibly good. I have a book called Flora that's really big, and Sean Hogan, I believe, wrote it, mm-hmm. is a really good book. There's many different books out there. I love all the vertical gardening books that are coming out. I think there's a lot of new books coming out that are really popular too. But I think the best books that you can find are the books that are over 100 years old. Those are the ones that are going to give you the best advice, because those are the tried true historical methods that we are going back to. So if you can find a book that's over 100 years old that's about gardening, I think that is going to be a gold mine for you.
You mentioned Craigslist. You're a Craigslist person. My wife bought a box of books off eBay recently, and the about a dozen books. Every book was 75 years or older. And there were just ancient textbooks and old books, and it was fascinating.
I love them. I've got, yeah, that I'm doing the same thing. I'm sorting through my storage to sell all my old books. It's so hard to get rid of them, though. I am just a book junkie. And like I do, I love history. I've got some, even some pictures at a Harper's Bazaar from the late 1800s of these beautiful gardens. And I'm like, I can't sell these. But, you know, what do you do with a storage unit full of them either?
You're passing them on to the next generation.
And the people, that's my point. Everyone that I've sold, everything that I've sold, even when I lived in Japan for a while and went to college there. And I have saved this stuff for so many years, but everything that I've sold that I've collected in Japan recently on eBay has gone to just the most incredible place, you know, and I just am so excited that these things, that's my point. Things don't belong in storage. They belong to be enjoyed and treasured. And I believe, yeah, we need to get to this attitude of hoarding and share. Instead of hoarding, we share. And even if we're getting $5 on something we spent $150 on, it's still not sitting in storage and it's being used by someone that's going to cherish it.
I love it. Oh, and finally, number five is a fun one. Look into your crystal ball. What is the number one thing you would love to suggest that gardeners grow next season? As an experiment.
Any endangered species.
Wow.
That they can legally grow.
What would be an example?
A slipper orchid from the Northwest that we're losing. But I'm spending a lot of time studying the Endangered Species Act right now, and I'm torn because, you know, we need to save these plants in our forests, but not allowing anyone to grow them or sell them or collect them. We can build a new development and ruin all these plants and kill them, but we can't even take these plants and replant them. I can't sell them at the farmer's market, that kind of thing. So I'm all about saving. We're losing so many of our plants. It's even bigger than the animals that we're losing on our planet. So if we can find ways to save our endangered species in botanical gardens, university gardens, our home gardens, then I think that we are Noah's Ark. You know what I mean? We need to take that responsibility. And there are any type, well, and that, and then a prepper garden. You know what I mean? I always want to say, you know, make sure you've got your onions, your garlic, your potatoes, your staples, pumpkins, that kind of thing, fruits and vegetables, things that you can sustain yourself with.
Brilliant. I think you just won a whole bunch of fans with that last thought. Your heart is definitely a giver. Can you imagine? What's your plans after school?
You know, I used to have a plan, and now I'll have my master's degree in April in environmental law and policy. And I'm actually seriously thinking I'm going to apply to law school next month to start next year, September. So I am just a glutton for punishment. So I might be going to school for another 4 years after this. Wow. But I can do that and do other things too. And I have twin boys that are 13 that need me not to be on the road and be gone from them and be a total career-oriented person. And I think there's more to life. My parents are still here, and I want to, the next 5 years, I don't really want to do a lot with my career. I want to spend time with my boys and my parents because I will never get that time back.
Brilliant.
So, and I hope to write a bunch of books. That's my plan. I'm going to write a bunch of books. So the time I get my degree, we'll see what happens. There's so much. I've always got 100 different projects going on. So
I happen to know that Timber Press listens to this podcast. So Timber Press, if you're looking for a brilliant young a rising star as an author, give Yolanda a call. Our time is rapidly escaping us. You've been a brilliant guest. Everybody head over, follow Yolanda on Twitter, check out her howtogardenvideos.com and join her Facebook group. I'm going to give you the last word today. Do you have a pearl of wisdom or a note of encouragement for our gardeners on their adventures?
Don't take it seriously. Garden like you're partying.
Garden like you're partying. Yolanda, you've been brilliant. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this time. Thank you for letting me get this message out too. I appreciate it.